will have a lot to do with that decision. The blizzard of 96 has now officially taken 8 lives, and many schools and businesses are still closed from Georgia to New Hampshire. Other news today. Now, there is other news. A federal appeals court says the sexual harassment suit against the president can go to trial. The 3-judge panel rejected the argument that Mr. Clinton should not have to testify while he's president. But Clinton's lawyer says they'll appeal. The latest budget meeting between President Clinton and congressional Republicans is described as critical. Both sides say the session now underway at the White House could produce an historic agreement or failure. The White House says President Clinton will head to Bosnia this weekend to check on U.S. peacekeeping troops. He'll leave from Nashville, where he'll be making some appearances on Friday. Neither rain nor sleet nor gloom of night will keep a determined bride away from the altar. That story in sports next.
Right now, eastbound on 66 at Nutley Street. Remember that road conditions are right now getting worse. You're going to expect bad visibility all around the area. Only 1 to 2 lanes are passable on the Beltway. Conditions are getting worse to the east and to the south. And unless you have a 4-wheel drive vehicle, it's best not to go out at all. I'm Sherry Licker, Metro Traffic Control for WJFK.
I'm Sherry. In sports, the Maryland Terrapins, desperate to land their first Atlantic Coast Conference victory, will now have to wait till the end of the week for their next opportunity. The Maryland-Florida State game scheduled for tonight has been postponed because of the snow. And this blizzard, which has also blanketed New York City, forced the postponement of last night's NHL game between the Caps and the Rangers. That game's been rescheduled for February 27th. After 10 games, Howard University is one of the last winless teams in the country. The basketball Bison lost Saturday to South Carolina State 67-58, giving them the worst start in that school's history. Finally, the minister was snowed in, but Angela Sutherland wasn't about to let a blizzard stand in the way of her wedding. She and groom Michael Hearn planned a church wedding for Sunday, but the blizzard of 96 nearly left them out in the cold. In the end, they had to scrap the ceremony they'd expected to take part in at a church in Atlanta, but they did get married right on schedule. The minister did the ceremony over the phone with Angela and Michael on the other end of the line. Angela says she certainly saw no reason to wait, but she still doesn't understand why the ceremony was canceled. That could be because she's from Canada. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, them Canadians. Hey. Thank you, Buzz. You we'll bet. Be right back on WJFK-FM and WJFK-AM.
For listening to this frequency wherever you are.
Gather round, listen to that bongo sound. Grab the first one in your reach. Now we're gonna shake the beach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do the clam, do the clam. Grab your barefoot baby by the hand. Turn and tease, hug and squeeze. Dig right in and do the clam. You can't get your heart to spin on the outside looking in. Moon ain't gonna last all night. Well, let's work up an appetite.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do the clam, do the clam. We'll grab your barefoot baby by the hand. Turn and tease, hug and squeeze. Dig right in and do the clam.
Listen to those happy feet.
Listen to those happy feet.
Ain't you glad that you found out?
Ain't you glad that you found out?
What the clown is all about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't want to keep our friends from the network waiting.
We don't.
No, we don't.
No, I do. I want to keep them waiting.
No, you're going to be a good boy.
Now, WJFK's Don and Mike Show reaches out beyond Washington and Baltimore, stretches out beyond the Beltway, across the mountains and valleys, to broadcast from sea to shining sea. This is the Don and Mike Show.
And we're in competition with other networks, not with a bunch of punks broadcasting out of a closet.
Copyright 1996, Infinity Broadcasting, all rights reserved. A presentation of Westwood One Entertainment and a production of Washington, D.C. Superstation 106.7 WJFK.
Why don't you run outside and jerk yourself a soda?
Ain't they jerks? I listen to them all the way home from work. Don and Mike on WJFK. Ain't they jerks?
Hold it, fella. That don't move me. Let's get real, real going for a change.
Yeah, everybody start laughing.
BOV take six.
Dating is a game that grown-ups play. Dating means acting in a silly way. Dating makes a gal start wiggle walking. Dizzy like a
wine old man.
Oh, how old is she? Don't want to be a tiger. Tiger's play. How old are you, honey? How old? 13. What am I singing? What am I singing?
She ain't around.
Thank you. Leave me. Oh, let me be. Good day to be.
I don't reckon.
Like a river flows surely to the sea, darling, so it goes. Some things are meant to
hold it.
Are meant some.
Hold it.
Hot damn, Molly. I said again, some things are meant to
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm he had some chicks, E-I-E-I-O. With a cluck cluck here, a cluck cluck there, loud as they could be. And when those chicks got out of line, chicken fricassee. With a cluck cluck here and a cluck cluck there, loud as they could be. And when those chicks got out of line, chicken fricassee.
Boy, y'all have really tore me apart today.
We're not trying to tear you apart.
Satan has had his way today.
Theo, take 50.
Excuse me.
When the evening shadows fall, and you're wondering who to ball.
Like this?
For a little company.
Here you go.
All right, hit it. Now it's fifth. Old Crow.
Don't run away with it.
Hit it, Charlie.
Right.
1, 2, 3.
Hold it.
Eel, take 16.
Somebody had too many whops in there.
Once more. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Too many whops.
Can't think of two things at once. Where the heck you get in from?
Bubba
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba
Well, I said I got a woman. Wake up.
No.
He had some cows, E-I-E-I-O. With a moo-moo here, a moo-moo there, cattle everywhere. And when those cows got out of line, hamburger medium rare. With a moo-moo here, a moo-moo there, cattle everywhere. And when those cows got out of line, hamburger medium rare.
I wonder if you're lonesome tonight. You know, someone said the world's a stage, and each of us play a part. They had me playing in with a plus tax. You read your lines so cleverly, and never missed a cue. They came back too. They forgot the words, seemed to change, you fool. You acted strange, and why I've never known. Why ever did it? Honey, who am I talking to? You lied when you said you loved me. I had no cause to doubt you. But I think go on hearing your lies. And to go on living without you. And the stage is bare. And I'm standing there without any hair. I know. And you won't come back to me.
By 1977, the sex symbol was overweight, his body failing him. Increasingly isolated and paranoid, Elvis retreated behind the walls of Graceland. He began pushing away even those who were closest to him. And the few who remained in his inner circle say they were powerless to help him.
We even got down one night and filled his pills with sugar to make sure that we got that he wouldn't get them.
His body was just no longer going with him. I mean, he had problems. He had a twisted colon. He had a liver disease.
And according to his former pals, Elvis wasn't even bathing regularly, relying on pills that people often take for medical reasons to reduce body odor.
And he would take those. He thought those worked perfect, you know. Rather take a bath. He could take two of those, you know, and sponge off real quick.
I'd like to tell you something. The people that got kissed last night, I kissed somebody and I caught the creeping crud. And if I got it, honey, you got it. I don't care what it is.
His friends say Elvis did anything to get more drugs, resorting even to self-mutilation.
He's got his foot on the examining stirrup, and there's a hole as big as a quarter. He was digging in his foot. And he looked at me and he says, I ought to get some good stuff with this.
Well, y'all have really tore me apart today.
We're not trying to tear you apart.
Has had his way today.
You are the best thing on the radio!
Don Mike, my brother. And of course, you remember him. He was the guy with the turban when Buzz co-starred with Elvis and Harum Scarum.
Oh, yeah.
Here now is Cheek Your Booty. Here's Buzz Burbank. Hi, Buzz.
The following program contains adult language and scenes with partial nudity. Your discretion is advised.
We thank you. You're my queen, man.
Live from the Schnee Room inside the Drifting Center in scenic, beautiful, and really snow-covered Fairfax, Virginia, it's the Don and Mike Show. Starring Don Geronimo and featuring Mike O'Mara with Buzz Burbank, Diana Seelman, Sherry Licker, C.L. Broyhill, along with Bobo Spiewak and the Don and Mike family of tofu-eating dropouts from society with Frostbite.
All over my body. Hooray!
our wacky Blizzard recap. It's our annual Happy Birthday Elvis show with all the usual Elvis stuff and an in-studio visit from Joyce Bova, author of a new book about her affair with Elvis.
Yeah, man.
Another call to Larry Fine's lovely Sir Lila to check on the recent lawsuit with relatives of the Three Stooges.
I'd like to be snowed away with Lila.
Have some salad. A review of all the new movies we haven't seen yet.
Some toss salad.
We again try to get in touch with Cody Gifford's summer camp counselor. A call to the hotline to heaven to check in on Dean Martin.
Man, he's going to be dead twice over by the time we get to calling him.
And yet another clue for the world of Don and Mike, our interactive CD-ROM. To order your copy, call 1-800-529-9900 and pony up $39.99 to get it for yourself and your PC. It's both IBM and Mac compatible with over 25 rooms, great graphics, and total nudity with the glory that is Strip Trivia.
Oh, yes.
Use Einen Finger and call 1-800-529-9900. Just $39.99. Use your Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover, or Diners Club. And thank you, Snowplow Hard. Along with the Don and Mike disease of the day.
I am ready. Lay it on me, Big Daddy.
Today, pneumonia.
Funny. Funny, I got it. Funny.
But enough of that. It's on with the tomfoolery and hijinks, and without further ado, let the big old, bad old cartoon begin.
So here he is with his big jukebox, the number one man of all the jocks.
Yeah,
hey, Mr. Record Man, what we need? Turn up the sound on the record machine. Roll back the rugs and stand up, folks.
Stand up, Sherry.
Here comes the man with the music and jokes.
Oh, sorry.
This is probably the greatest honor that I've ever had in my life.
He's gonna play the top 10
and the bottom 50.
You know his taste. It's all so nifty. So let's start to swing.
Swing.
And let's start to sway.
Sway.
Here comes the guy with
some records to play.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. WJFK.
On the Westwood One Radio Network, coast to coast. Don Geronimo with Mike O'Mara, and thank you so much for listening. Well, we're here.
Yes, we are.
We have made it here. For those of you on the West Coast, I know you probably at this point are alternating between laughing at the idiots on the East Coast and being totally bored with what's happening on the East Coast.
Yes, with all this talk of this massive winter storm that we have all suffered through.
However, we live on the East Coast.
We live on the East Coast, and we are up to our buttocks, in some cases our nipples, in snow.
We have so much snow. We have a bunch of stations on the East Coast also, so we will talk about the snow in limited fashion. Today we will do the Elvis birthday show that we had wanted to do yesterday.
Right.
We simply could not make it in yesterday.
No.
Out where I live, we have a yardstick, and we had 31 inches of snow.
That is serious snowfall.
Now, the plows didn't come Saturday when the snow started.
Mm-hmm.
The plows didn't come Sunday.
Right.
The plows didn't come Monday.
Mm-hmm.
The plow finally came to our neighborhood. I know a lot of you have neighborhoods that have already been plowed through.
Well, I live on an interstate, Don, so I get very quick service.
And I was amazed when I finally did get out today, courtesy of Doug.
Doug, who's hauling everybody around.
Boy, am I glad I got that guy a Christmas present.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's had to come out to my house now and bring me all the way. When we got to the big road, we saw actual pavement.
Now, we're all looking at each other now going, did anybody else get Doug a Christmas present? Oh, you know, I gave him one of my Christmas presents when I was getting into my car.
Oh, you slipped him a 20?
Yeah, I gave him a 20.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, well, he went beyond the call today. Here's what happened. So yesterday, just couldn't get out and wasn't really worried about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sure.
It was like yesterday, it was still kind of a novelty to be trapped at home.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Because
the thing is, this snowstorm came in two major waves. One was during the day, all day on Sunday, and then they said, we're going to get a little bit more on Sunday night. What I didn't anticipate was we got a lot more on Sunday night.
Now, up until maybe time the Dallas game was over on Sunday, right, I was still leaving the house every couple hours to drive around, to make my way, and we had like maybe 9 or 10 inches of snow, and you know, I like getting out and exploring,
risking your life.
Felt confident that I would be able to make it into work yesterday, Monday. Well, then, as you say, we got all this extra snow, and we couldn't get out. So yesterday, I was truly stuck at my house.
Yeah.
And it was fun for a while. Then when I got up today, it ceased being fun when I looked outside and saw that the plow had not come by yet.
You have that little area back there where they really don't get to.
Right. I live off a back road, off a back road, off a back road, on another back road. Mm-hmm. So finally, this morning, I said, listen, this is silly. Can't miss work again. Got the blazer. Got it up that huge hill by my house, mm-hmm. made it to the top of the hill, was heading out the first back road, totally unplowed with 31 inches of snow, making it through, feeling good, and I see a snowplow coming at me.
Right.
I think, ah, hey, this is working out great. Plows are here just as I'm leaving. I will simply back my car out of the way, let the plow go by, and then move on.
Sure.
The problem is the plow stopped moving. Snowplow stopped moving.
Oh, dear.
Snowplow stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Guy who drives the snowplow, bless his heart, seemed like a wonderful guy.
Uh-huh.
He should move back to wherever he came from because he couldn't speak a lick of English.
Working those 14-hour shifts, I guess it finally got to him.
And I got to think that I'm not what this guy wants to see.
Right.
When his snowplow finally starts as he's on my street, because
uh-huh.
I get out of my car and I go running up to him. I go running up there and I go, what? I got to go to work. What are you doing? It truck no go.
Aye!
Truck no go!
Aye!
So I went back to my blazer. This was at 10:30 this morning. I went back to the blazer and sat there while the guy, the snowplow guy, went into another one of my neighbor's houses. And
right.
I could see him in the bay windows there, their kitchen, the bay windows. He's having coffee. This guy is the plow driver. And he's
sure.
talking with a neighbor.
Oh, yeah.
The neighbor that doesn't have to go to work today. And everybody's
right.
really happy about this.
The vast majority of people in a situation like this don't have to really think about it. I think the vast majority, you know, there are the people that are indispensable that have to deal with it.
Other neighbors that I have are coming by and they're going, how long have you been sitting here? And I said, oh, now this, I sat for an hour and a half waiting for the snowplow to move. Reason being that if I couldn't leave my blazer where it was because I was in somebody's driveway,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't take my blazer to the end of the road and leave it because mm-hmm. when the plows finally came through,
you're socked in if they
right. So I had to bring the blazer all the way back down to my house.
Mm-hmm.
I got the blazer down to the house and then I called Diana and I said, listen. There is a snowplow that's stuck on my street. I really don't see how I can possibly get in today. Now, Tuesday. Now, at this point, I'm not happy about this. Like, mm-hmm. I kind of was yesterday. Like, hey,
yeah, well,
kind of neat to have a snow day and not sure. be able to leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you wanted to go anywhere, you couldn't. It makes you feel kind of cozy.
And yesterday, the city, Washington, D.C., and the suburbs around Washington were paralyzed.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It was like nothing I've ever
no
seen.
No question.
So I come back, and I call Diana, and she says, listen, I will send Doug, the security guy, he's got a four-wheel drive, I will send him to make it as far as the snowplow on the back road.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
If you can get back to where the snowplow is,
mm-hmm.
he can pick you up and he can take you to work. I thought, ah, beautiful, I can escape. So I get off the phone and I say to Frida, hey, listen, come on, I want you to put your snow stuff on, get out in the car, and it's about, from where the snowplow was, it's about a mile from mm-hmm. my house. 1 mile from there to where the plow was.
Right.
I say, I want you to drive me in the blazer up to where the snowplow is and drop me off, then you bring the blazer back down. She said, no, well, what if I get the blazer stuck? What if I can't get it back? I said, oh, come on. What am I supposed to do? I can't miss work. And then she said, why don't you try walking?
Oh! Mm.
So, like freaking Abe Lincoln, although something tells me that Abe Lincoln wasn't cursing every 2 seconds when he was walking, I started up this hill where I live, and it took me 45 minutes wading through snow. This is one of two things. This is either how desperately I love this job, how much I wanted to get here, or how much I wanted to get out of my house.
Yes, the two things weighing heavily.
The two motivational factors and the snow up to my knees. I finally make it up to Doug. As soon as I get up there, and Doug will attest to this, I get up there and I am drenched with sweat. I'm like, oh, God, I'm ready for the coronary. I think, God, thank God you're here. As soon as I get to where the plow is,
hugging a kiss for Doug,
the plow moves.
Plow moves.
Sure. So I think, well, all right, this isn't bad. My first thought was, Doug, take me back down to my house. I'll get my own car and drive myself into work.
Right.
Problem is, the snow plow went maybe 30 more yards down the road before, guess what? Snowplow break again.
Let me ask you a question about this snowplow. Would it be your humble estimation that this was a mechanical situation? Because I got news for you. There's snow all over this area. Or would this be this particular driver's
fault? Well, now, it could be driver-operator error.
Yeah.
Doug tells me that the guy had the chains on the wrong tires.
Yeah, on the front?
I don't know. I didn't even notice. It was a big VDOT, Virginia Department of Transportation.
Right.
Plow. Anyway, they had to get another plow to move the first plow. Second plow got stuck.
Yeah.
So now, I don't know. I called home a while ago and I said, has the street been plowed yet? And Frida said, no. It's now 20 after 3.
Sure.
I'm thinking, are they going to get there today? How am I going to get back home tonight? And frankly, to be honest with you, we have a top-rated radio show here in Washington, D.C., and I think I deserve some kind of priority plowing.
I agree. Get them to plow you out.
Yeah. Let me get the
Or you know what you ought to get? You ought to get somebody to rig that blazer up with a plow on it so you can go wherever you want.
You have reached the Virginia Department of Transportation's Operations Center.
Yes, yes.
All of our call takers are busy.
Yeah, what a surprise.
You stay on the line, and your call will be answered in the order received.
Oh, see, now this... I need something to get me to the front of the line here.
See, I think, wouldn't you love to strap one of those big old plows on the front of your blazer?
No, but the problem is that there really, where I live, there is so much snow that you got to have, like, a big what was out there and got stuck in the snow. You got to have the big, huge snow plow to get through it.
Or a blower. If you had a blower, you wouldn't have these problems.
Boy, do you love blowing. I have never met a guy who enjoys blowing as many people as you have blown over the last 3 days.
Let me tell you something. There is nothing quite like getting a blower.
Our call takers are still busy. Please stay on the line, and your call will be answered.
When I bought my blower on Saturday, and then the snow hit, and I blew all day on Sunday, and I was a blowing fool. I don't mind telling you. But what freaked me out was that I did about three and a half, four hours of this all day on Sunday.
3 hours of blowing?
Three and a half, 4 solid hours of blowing. And then woke up and at about 9 o'clock looked out my window. And all the blowing that I had done was absolutely useless.
Isn't that how it always goes?
It's absolutely useless on Monday. And that was I was one seriously frustrated.
It was a waste
blower.
Of blow.
Yeah. But no, well, actually, but I did blow again to get myself out of the driveway. And it's worthwhile that I bought that blower. Incidentally, I think I may have purchased the last blower available. And at that point, I realized that I was a true Washingtonian, because you know how everybody around this area...
Our call takers
excuse me,
are
ma'am.
Still busy. Please stay on the line, and your call will...
Hey! Hold on a second. All righty now.
Here we go. Now be nice.
Very nice.
Feet of operations, Mr. Chambers.
Mr. Chambers, hello. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, doing our radio show right now. How are you, sir?
Well, Don Geronimo, just the guy I've been wanting to talk to. There's a lady here who wants to talk to you. Hold on, Don.
Wow. Look at this.
Who is this?
Robin Allen's here. She's the voice of VDOT. She wants to talk to you. Hold on for just a minute.
Hey, the voice of VDOT's coming on here.
Perhaps they're listening?
All right, great.
She's trying to tell me to shove it?
No, I can't do it because I'll lose them. Honest, I always do.
Keith, I like this guy. I like this guy already.
Don.
Yes, ma'am.
What's up, buddy?
Hi, listen.
You know, I can't talk. You won't call me back. I'll talk to you. But you got the public line tied up and all. Seriously.
I have the public. Okay, hold on. I will. I'll have Diana give you a number. Or you give Diana a number. Hold on, please.
Okay.
Give her get a phone number. What?
Serious business. These people know you.
Well,
these
sure.
people know you well.
They want to talk to you.
See, you're a Virginian. I'm a Marylander. These people at VDOT know you.
Well, it hasn't done me any good. My street still isn't plowed.
If they, you know, if they knew me.
Do you have that number, Diana?
I could show them my blower.
Oh, hey, Diana. Remind me in a second. When I get done talking about this, I want to talk about what happened on Friday with Rabe, with the car phone. So funny.
You know what I was going to say? I have a qualifier to make with my blower.
Yes.
It's only good for 12 inches.
Oh.
That's what they told me at the store. I could have gotten a bigger one.
That happens.
What are you going to do? Sometimes I have to blow a certain area twice.
Yeah.
It's true.
This is Robin.
Yes, Robin. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara.
Hi, how are you doing, guys?
Hi, doing great. Hey, listen, I was calling because my road hasn't been plowed.
No doubt. You and everybody else.
Yes, but Rob...
Okay, see ya.
Now, I'm a vital member of the community. I like to think I am a vital member of the community.
I was getting ready to say, and we support that wholeheartedly.
Okay, so, knowing that you're very busy and you've had all the secondary roads that haven't even been started, if I was to...
No.
Oh, they have been started?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Actually, seriously, we were making fairly good progress today, and we had gotten into a lot more subdivisions than last night, But we had that little Alberta Clipper come through, and that kind of set us back.
Well, see, the problem I has was the guy who was finally on my street today, he got stuck. He got stuck because there was so much snow out there. And when I last left, he was still stuck. And as much as I enjoy the company of Doug, our security guard, who drove me in today, I'm looking now at the process of him driving me back home, and then maybe me not being able to get home and having to maybe spend the night with Doug. And you could see why
in his truck.
Yes, why I am so crazy to find out. Listen, if I was to give you my home address off the air, of course, what could we do to get a plow out there?
What could we do?
What kind of good PR would VDOT like?
What kind of good PR would VDOT be
willing to be your official mouthpiece.
You'd be our official mouthpiece.
Sure.
The goodwill of VDOT.
Yes,
industry,
ma'am.
Right?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'll tell you what we can do. We can take your address, find out where you are, because most likely we've got trucks assigned to almost all of our subdivisions.
There you go.
Yeah. You think that's just the spiel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but my partner doesn't live in a subdivision. He lives in a castle.
We don't have any horses to ride in.
Well, you need them for this job.
I live in a very exclusive area, don't you know?
No subdivision for Mr. Geronimo.
Okay, hold on a second. Maybe if Diana gives you my street address, maybe you can, you know, get somebody out there. I would appreciate it.
I tell you what I will do. I'll certainly check into it for you.
I would appreciate it.
I most definitely will do that.
Thank you very much.
And you guys are doing great work over there.
Well, we really do appreciate it. We're really trying.
Hey, Robin, would there be any way that you could get me some kind of a card, maybe that says, like, VDOT celebrity? So if I was to, when I do finally get out on the roads, if I do have to, let's say...
I'm going to send you my personal business card. All you got to do is flash it.
If I do
You're
have to...
You're home free.
Yeah, okay, great. If I do have to pass somebody or
hey,
something
that's cool.
like that.
Yeah, send that business card along.
Yeah, you better send two of them.
Yeah, send two.
When you get in the HOV lanes when you're late, you just flash that baby to state police. You
oh, cool.
No
send four of them.
All right, well, thank you, Robin.
All right.
Hold on a second, please.
I will.
Hold on, please. And Diana, really, give her my address. Please. Let's see. Well, now here I was ready to spend the first hour bitching and complaining.
Well, you think she's really going to do it? I hate to burst your bubble. She's going to get off the phone right now and go, I'll look into it. That street, okay. All right. All righty then.
No, I live in enough of a fantasy world where I think that the street's going to be plowed down to pavement by the time I get home tonight.
Well, okay. Marty, who's responsible for the Geronimo Castle subdivision? Abdul. Oh, it's Abdul.
Aye. Oh, boy. Did I have some fun on the television? You know, Channel 4, the NBC station here, yesterday, Monday... should I tell this after the commercial? All right, let's break for commercials. I gave one of my trademark calls to Channel 4 yesterday because they were so desperate to keep the storm stuff going.
Oh, and pad, fill.
When it became sunny and when the snow was over yesterday,
right.
They just started taking live phone calls from people.
There you go.
I had to call and put my 2 cents worth in.
Yeah, they were doing a super... Yeah, the ratings show, they're doing a super job of it.
Okay, we'll come back, tell you a little more about the blizzard. I do have to tell you what Diana and I heard on the car phone Friday night with Rob A.
Really?
A lot of stuff to get through. It's the Big Elvis Show. Glad that you're with us. Hey, I might be plowed. We'll be right back.
Radio gods.
I give up kids for the British show in town.
John and Mike.
John Davidson.
Hello, Jim J. Bullock.
And next week, Aline Cunningham on the program. And the week after that, we broadcast live from Phoenix for Super Bowl XXX.
A nice place to be this time of year. I was looking at the weather map, and I see Southern California, that part of Arizona, temperatures in the 80s.
Now if we can just get there.
Hey, do they hire the biggest nerds in the world to be on the Weather Channel or what?
Oh, my God.
Is that a prerequisite that you got to have bad skin and an overbite?
Would you like to hear my impression of the Weather Channel?
Yeah.
Coming up.
Yeah, there
you
is.
Go. That's yeah. it. That's it. Coming up.
Well, I was amazed. Now, again, I don't know how it is around the country, although I do get the New York stations on my satellite dish.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to watch some of their storm coverage right. as opposed to the D.C. storm coverage.
Sure.
The one thing that they did here that they hadn't done up in New York was they had resorted to taking phone calls from people. And it wasn't just like people calling in and saying, the roads are bad where right. I live. They had the weather guys Sunday morning, which was right in the very beginning stage of this blizzard, weather guys sitting at their weather desks, and now they all were casual, okay?
Sure.
They all had on jeans, and they all had on sweaters, as if to say, listen, we've been pulled in from home, we don't have on our TV clothes.
That's a stupid way to dress, that's for sure. Oh, excuse me.
But they're doing it to make an impact.
Yeah, and the thing that when you see the anchor people and the weathermen, all the people that are in studio with those outfits on, you know, it's the same thing as usual. They could throw on their suits and come on. It's the people that are out in the field that should be dressed like that.
So I start noticing that they're talking about people calling in, and they're saying, yeah, now listen, Buzz from Fairfax calls and wants everybody to remember to turn their lights on when they're driving. That's very important. Sherry from D.C. called, and she wants to remind people not to park by fire hydrants, okay? Mike from Annapolis, he called, and he wants to remind you to throw bird seed out
for
all
the birds.
Yeah, but the point is, this is not storm coverage. This is like tradio.
Yeah.
This is the lowest form of filling time.
That's right.
That is really, it gets to the point, after you get the weather forecasts and after you get the closings, the rest of that, it's carte blanche. It's fill that time, and that's why they put graphics up on the screen like I saw on Sunday where they said, here are some tips. This cracked me up. Here are some tips for driving when it's snowing. And here was the first thing, the first graphic that they put up was, look straight ahead. I said, oh yeah, I'll do that as opposed to looking in back of me when I'm driving.
I saw one about cabin fever on Channel 9.
Yeah.
Where they had a woman very seriously come on and she talked about cabin fever. And basically she's talking about beating your kids.
Wow.
She was saying,
oh my God.
Now if you've been in the house
and
you find that you're going to lose your temper, try counting to 10, then try walking out of the room.
Right.
Get some fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, don't blame your son or daughter because you can't. All of you people who are so stupid because there's a little snow outside. So it's now gotten to this. And this is the point that they've taken calls from people.
Right.
They're talking about the calls. They have psychologists on the air.
Sure.
Then yesterday, Monday, they are taking live calls from people.
Mm-hmm.
And they are taking calls about the blizzard, your memories of the blizzard. Well, Bob, I remember when I was in line in the grocery store and I was the last one to get bread. Oh, that's a great story. I'm watching this thinking, what is this crap?
Mm-hmm.
So I called up. And amazingly, I got on the air. They said, and now here's Mike from Virginia. Hi, Mike. And I realized that I was live on the TV.
Oh, man, and your voice not at all recognizable.
So what I had to do was go to that that time-tested favorite.
And then hang up and show your teeth laughing.
No, what happened was they take the call. It's Doug McElway and Susan Kidd, okay?
Oh, wow.
And they go, hey, here's Mike from Virginia. Hi, Mike. And I go, all the way to the end of it, he goes, is that all? And I went, and then they cut me off.
That's great.
Yesterday on Channel 4.
Well, see, that's a tribute to the fact that they are so desperate for fill time, they let you go all the way to the end with it.
Oh, yeah, and wanted me to continue till somebody in the control room gave him the old ixnay on that.
Be sure to notice the cars coming towards you.
And I will give Doug Hill from Channel 9 here the award for being the most paranoid.
Oh, unbelievably paranoid.
And defensive, too. I see him yesterday come on, and he goes, now, listen, he's starting his little weather segment.
Yeah.
He's in the weather center. They all have a weather center now.
Sure,
have you noticed that?
And all it is just like another area carved out of the warehouse in those studios that they do those shows.
Doug Hill in the weather center. Listen, I've had some people call the station and complain, saying that I am frightening the public, scaring the public, because he was getting on yesterday saying, and we've got more snow coming Friday, but I'll tell you about that later.
Yeah, right.
We've got more snow, but I'll tell you later. So apparently a couple of people called the station to complain.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody yells at him, then he has to go on the air and say, listen, if I am frightening the public, I apologize. I'm sorry.
You know, I heard about those five-day forecasts that they have. I heard it. Someone was explaining how they do that. I don't know whether this is true or not, but they were saying that what they have are three computer models, and three different computer models spit out these long-range forecasts and these long-range scenarios, and they either mix them all together and come up with a vague idea what they think it might do, or they pick one of the models. Two of the models for Friday, for this coming Friday on the East Coast, are saying that it could be another one of these unbelievable storms.
Right.
And then the other model is calling for clearing skies and much warmer. And so, I mean, I don't know whether I really, I heard this. I don't remember where I heard it, but that's how they do it. It's like throwing darts at a board.
The result is a forecast that now calls for a wintry mix, which we get a lot of in the Washington area. Yeah.
And that's what we got where I live. We got a wintry mix.
And listen, one more thing. Would you please stop with putting my TV shows on one quarter of the screen so that we can have the closings on three quarters of the screen?
Very frustrating.
If you must do box in a box,
right,
make the closings the little box and make the TV, the show that I'm watching, the main part of the box.
Absolutely. And people are really interested in the closings, you know. They get a little radiation by pressing their nose up against their TV.
Sure.
Yeah, but, you know, it gets to a point last night at 9 o'clock.
Right.
Doesn't everybody really know everything is going to be closed?
Yeah, and they go to their live reporters, those poor, underpaid reporters they have out at the airports and standing on the street. Uh-huh. You know, let's go down to Joe Blow down here and we're going to see exactly what's happening. Well, it's really nasty out here. You might not want to be driving. Oh, a Metro bus just got stuck. A Metro bus got stuck. We're going to get over there and cover that right away.
And what about this? See all the homeless people that they were interviewing?
Oh, yeah, but they're the only ones that are out there that they can interview.
Yeah, but some of them really felt bad for, like, guys standing out there without a shirt on, like, with one tooth in his head.
Yep.
Well, I'm doing fine, me and my grocery cart.
It's terrible.
And then I was watching a little bit of Baltimore yesterday also.
Mm-hmm.
I watched our friend Marty Bass on Channel 13.
Who has definitely cornered the market on the homespun, folksy,
folksy, that's how you describe him.
Down-home style of journalism.
I don't know who the guy was that was anchoring with him. The guy with the curly hair. Is it that guy, Richard
Scherr? Richard Scherr. They're fun to watch because they don't seem to really care, and I like that.
Now, Marty Bass had the attitude that he didn't care, but this other guy was trying to be like a police officer with him.
Right.
They had some guy on the phone, some reporter on the phone in Baltimore. Yeah.
Marty Bass, he's a study in itself. Marty Bass should be on the network just so everybody else can enjoy him, too.
So here's what they got a guy on the telephone, and the guy on the phone says, yeah, well, it's really snowing really bad down here, and that's why I'm at the Sheraton at the Inner Harbor.
Right.
And then the anchor guy goes, well, hey, guess what? Our ace reporter, Marianne Mobley, is down at that hotel also. Lots of our staff is down there.
Right.
The guy on the phone says, well, Marianne's here. Well, why don't you tell her my room number and send her up? Now, Marty Bass laughs.
Sure.
But the guy with the curly hair, he goes, hey, whoa. You might have been able to do that before, but not in this day and age.
Oh,
not here. Reminded me of that guy Kent Brockman from The Simpsons. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not in this day and age.
Yep.
Not here. Hold on a second. Hold on. Here is Robin from the Virginia Department of Transportation.
Wonderful. Hi, Robin.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
How are you?
Can you pick up, please?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yes.
I'm a little tired. You know how that is.
That's okay. It's tough to hold that phone up to your ear.
Yeah, that's right. It is tough, you know? That's all I've been doing for 4 days.
Do you have an update on my street?
I have an update on your street.
Yeah.
And our records show, drum roll, you've been plowed, buddy.
You've been plowed.
Yeah.
You've been. Look at the look on his face.
He's smiling.
You know, Robin, you have made a young boy happy.
Well, you know what? I don't believe it yet. I got to call home and check during the break.
All right.
That's been my biggest dream.
to make Don's life happy.
well, if indeed the street has been plowed, then you have done it, Robin.
Trust me.
And my thanks,
Robin. Since we're on a roll here, let me see if I can go one step further. Do you think one of your plow trucks could drive me home to Annapolis tonight?
Can drive you home to Annapolis. let me get back with you on that.
Absolutely, yeah. No problem at all.
Do you know what happened to the plow that got stuck? Do you know why that plow got stuck on the street that's off my street?
No, actually, no? I didn't even have any record of that.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Well, thank you, Robin.
See you guys.
All right,
bye. Well, if she doesn't have a record of that, that doesn't hold very well for the credibility of having a... you ought to find out if your street's been...
Time to call home.
Let me find out real fast.
A plow came by. Honey, I can't even breathe.
You'll never get in. All right.
How about on the street leading to your street?
I can't get there.
I haven't been out of our little, you know, neighborhood, our street.
That's a half mile away. Okay, bye.
Hey,
get me that lady back on the phone. Bye. Bye, honey. Diana.
Was she given the right street?
Maybe it's a case of mistaken identity.
Heavens to Murgatroyd. That's our update on the cancellations. Let's go to Marty Bass.
Well, how about we fry a catfish right now? I'll tell you that, boy. I remember back in 62. Yeehaw!
He used to date a girl that I knew at WPGC, Lisa Kay. I double dated with them a few times. He's a pretty crazy guy to go out with.
Remember when he got up on stage at that... that unbelievably awful appearance we did up in Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
Appreciate it, Steve.
Steve, is Robin there? This is Don and Mike.
No, she stepped out.
Okay, listen, would you tell her she just called and told me my street has been plowed, and I just called my wife, and my wife said the street has not been plowed.
She did.
She did.
Hmm.
Street has not been plowed.
Yeah, if you put them on with Diana, you can get that street again.
Keeping in mind, we're on the radio. We don't want to give out my address on the radio.
You don't want to give out your...
Although, at this point, what would it matter? Nobody could get there anyway.
Castle Rock.
Not in this day and age, Don.
I live at One Groovy Guy Lane.
Oh, yeah, right.
Right next to Marty Bass.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I live in Marty Bass Estates.
Howdy, Don!
Yeah.
That's the Murgatroyd. That's a whopper of a storm. Yeah!
You guys must be bored up there, huh?
No, actually, this is what we do every day.
This is the show.
We're doing our show now.
Oh.
Hey, hold on a second. Diana, would you pick this up, please?
Got it.
Thank you. All right, well, let's hold off on those goodwill and tidings towards VDOT just yet.
That's it in the Weather Center. Marty?
Yeah, got me some animal crackers. I'm chewing on them, munching on those puppies right now. Yeah.
I tell you, this is good. This is a heck of a storm. Golly willikers.
And then the other guy... The guy with the curly hair said something else around the same time that the guy called in from the hotel.
Right.
They had a shot of a gal who was working there in the office off camera, and Marty Bass was doing all this thing like, you know, get a shot of her. She's been helping us out. She's a good girl. She's a good worker. She's been helping. And they go and they get a shot of the woman, and it's obviously it's not on the set, so it's kind of limly dit.
What's she doing? Flipping Marty off?
No, she was just sitting there. Now, she was black, and the surroundings were dark. They come back to these guys, and the one guy, Richard Cher, goes, need some better lighting there. Kind of tough to make out exactly where she was.
Oh, dear.
Unbelievable.
I'm thinking that this is the guy who just 2 seconds earlier...
Live TV, walking the tightrope.
...had been yelling at the other guy for talking about the girl being at the hotel where he's at.
Man, Marty Bass, who sounds like the atypical, you know, good old boy.
Ernest. Yeah, I'll tell you this right now.
Ernest T. Bass might as well be his name.
Andy, I've been up since 5 a.m. I tell you, man, tarnation, that's good cocoa. A little Bessie sent that in from Cockeysville. Man, that's great. Thank you so much. Delicious cocoa, darling. I really appreciate that.
You face that. You face that.
Marty Bass. He's Marty Bass, homespun journalism.
Got your 4-alarm chili. Mmm, good.
All right, listen, we're going to go to commercial break right now. I got to take me a trip down to the head.
We'll be right back.
You realize this is being broadcast, don't you?
Yeah.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Man. The most unbelievable... 106.7 WJFK.
353, here's Sherry. Hi, Mommy.
Hi, Don and Mike. This traffic report is brought to you by BMW of North America. Remember that 3 lanes are available both ways right now on the Beltway between 123 and 270. Look out for an accident northbound on the BW Parkway after Route 450. Police are on the scene right now. And also, the on-ramps onto the Beltway in Montgomery County have no merge area whatsoever. You must come to a complete stop in order to get onto the Beltway. With Bleeker, Metro Traffic Control for WJFK.
The station with less BS, WJFK.
Hello.
Give me a second.
Hello.
Winter storm warning.
Give me a second.
Winter storm warning. Here's Marty Bass.
Two champions of the Bill of Rights. Especially that crap about honoring thy father and mother, Don and Mike.
Yeah, the problem is, darling, with the winds, it's going to be colder than a witch's wing. You know what we used to say. Woo-hoo, man. Am I glad that we got those chili dogs this afternoon.
Oh, I'll tell you that, Donnie, right on. And we'd like to say good hello to Martha. Martha's out there in Sykesville, and she sent us some of the most delicious brownies. Thank you, darling. Thanks a lot for thinking of us.
We think they're laced with something.
Yeah, there's something in here. I tell you, we're flying high now, aren't we, Richard?
We like them. We sure do. We're all going to go have a gangbang at the Doubletree Hotel as soon as we get off the air this afternoon.
You just asked for me. Give my name, Marty Bass.
We're wearing our comfortable clothes, not wearing our TV clothes.
That's good time out here, darling. I'll tell you that right now. That's quite a storm, ain't it?
Oh, God. And it's still, as we speak now, it's still snowing here in Washington, D.C. And they're saying we're going to get more snow now on Friday. All right, we're here. But before we get to the Elvis stuff, though, I did want to share a brief story with you about Rabe.
Mm-hmm.
Want to find out what happened on Joe Rockhead's date. Remember when we last spoke to him on Friday?
Yeah.
He was going to take the gal out to the basketball game this weekend. We want to try to call Lila Budnick at some point during the program today, the sister of Larry Fine of the Three Stooges.
And a charming woman, very nice lady.
Oh, and listen, here's your clue for the day, okay? Clue of the day at the Don and Mike Interactive CD-ROM, The World of Don and Mike. And here it is today, Tuesday, the 9th of January. And now, because we were unable to provide you with a clue yesterday, here's a whole bunch of clues for our CD-ROM. Listen carefully.
Good.
A room you will find with large bars of steel. Click the three to the left, and the room will be revealed.
Right.
Once in the room, you may have to guess at which point in time to click on her breast. Later this week, or perhaps sometime soon, you'll hear about the M and that damn empty room. So keep it tuned and don't be blue, thanks a B.O.B., and yes, that's another clue.
Yeah.
Actually, it's two.
Ooh.
So somebody working on our staff should go work at Hallmark Cards.
That's terrific. That's a very nice clue.
This is like a greeting card to a 10-year-old boy. Here's to a really nice boy. Hope you like your birthday toy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In a room you will find large bars of steel. Click the three to the left and the room will be revealed. Once in the room, you may have to guess at which point in time to click on her breast. Later this week, or perhaps sometime soon, you'll hear about the M and that damn empty room. So keep it tuned and don't be so blue. Thanks a B.O.B. And yes, that's another clue. Actually, it's two.
And here's to the viewers that watch Marty Bass. We both agree he really kicks ass.
And did you read this? About kissing ass, sucking ass, tossing a salad. Did you read this thing in the newspaper today? This endorsement for the phony disc jockey?
Nauseating. And you know, can we throw in, like, how much wealth he has and all that he can all do all this stuff? This makes me ill.
This is the disc jockey, for those of you around the country, the loser we've talked about, the guy who was so proud that his station paid to have him in the Hard Rock Cafe Hall of Fame.
Right.
You know, Jack Zirconia, fake diamond. Guy whose whole show is based on sick kids and bad jokes.
That's right.
Here's what it says in the Washington Post today. Because nobody's been able to get to work, okay? WRQX morning host Jack Diamond, who was once a TV newscaster, said he bought into the storm predictions early. On Saturday, he bought a four-wheel drive Chevy Blazer to ensure he'd make it to work.
Yeah, just thought I'd go out and pick one up.
Pay cash.
All right, here you go. Listen, ooh, storm's coming. Better buy a car.
He parked the new vehicle on the side of his North Potomac home, that's Gaithersburg for those of you who live out here, where he thought he'd be safe from snowdrifts.
Yeah, I did a meteorological survey and figured that if I parked on the north side of my home, I'd be okay.
Can you put it in your garage, you idiot?
I miscalculated. There's 4 feet of snow around it and 4 feet of snow on top of it,
cracked the frustrated host.
This may be one of the reasons I stopped doing TV weather.
Yeah, when did he do TV weather?
I had never heard of it before. Certainly not here. He's never done TV weather.
15 minutes somewhere.
So this is it. So the guy. So basically, this makes news in the Washington Post.
Sure.
The guy goes out and buys a car and still can't come to work. And that's the news?
Thank you.
That's the news?
Boo.
Last night, Diamond's new Blazer remained stuck and his street unplowed. All plans for an in-studio appearance this morning were dashed.
God, jeez.
Why don't you just eat me? All of you, just line up and eat me right now.
Man, toss salad and scrambled eggs.
For goodness sakes, man. You're going to be hearing a lot on this show about toss salad.
Yeah, I was watching HBO, and there was a special on prison life, and I can't go into any real detail here, but suffice to say, toss salad, a new term that I am familiar with based on one of the prisoners going off. You know, those HBO undercover things, those are fantastic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Man, oh man, toss
salad. Log cabin, and don't forget the syrup.
That's right, jelly or syrup.
Jelly or syrup.
Yum, yum. Yum, yum. I'll tell you, is The Hobbit coming back after the holiday?
No, The Hobbit is gone forever, Mike.
What a shame. I guess we'll have some new interns that maybe could receive correspondence regarding toss salads.
And to all you guys in the joint listening to the show right now, enjoy your toss salad.
Absolutely. Enjoy a nice toss salad during the snowstorm.
And that's from me, Don, and from him, Mike.
Thank you, guys.
Enjoy, guys. Diana? Are you around? Is Rob Spiewak around? I just want to tell you one more funny thing that happened from the weekend.
All right.
It doesn't seem like Friday was 1, 2, 3, 4 days ago, but it was.
That's right.
Friday night, here he is. Here's Robe.
Hi.
You remember Friday we had Rob at the Hard Rock Cafe doing the party for the government workers.
Yes.
Who have since been furloughed, who have since been called back from furlough, but now can't go to work because it's snowing so much.
It's a crazy world we live in.
So Rob was making his way back from the Hard Rock Cafe, and I'm getting some loose ends done around the station, and Diana, I hear Diana say, come here. You got to hear this. He had Diana's car phone.
Mm-hmm.
He had been using it all day, her portable phone, her cell phone.
You remember the quality. Fine phone.
She says to me, listen to this. It sounds like Rob is talking to himself. So she gives me the phone, and I hear, and you hear the car noise there. Did you hear? And I listened for a couple more seconds. I said to her, I said, he's talking up records in his car.
Guilty. Guilty.
And what he was doing is something a lot of radio guys do.
Sure.
When you drive around in your car, when a song comes on the radio,
oh, yeah,
you start talking like you're on the radio.
Oh, sure.
Well, he didn't know, but we were sitting there howling, listening to him. He would go from station to station to station. And once you figured out what he was doing, it was very funny, because then once you knew he was being a DJ,
right,
you heard the stuff like, 18 minutes after 7 o'clock, Rob Spiewak, chance of snow tonight. Here's the Depeche Mode.
You're all by yourself. Do you do that all the time?
All the time. Secret's out. Secret's out. Very few people know. Well, now I guess millions of people know it, but up till now.
Were you mortified when it was discovered that you were being eavesdropped
on? I believe the verb that would dance it, my face blanched. I believe for once the color drained from my face.
I see him down in the garage as I'm leaving, and I said, hey, were you talking up records in your car? And he goes, yeah, how'd you know?
Yeah, way to go. All right. That's great. We all do it. Don't worry about it.
Sure.
We do. We just don't have cell phones on while we're doing
that's
it.
Right. That's right. That's why I need to no longer borrow phones anymore. I also have the windows soundproofed.
19 minutes after 7 o'clock, Rob Spiewak, Friday night in the city. Okay, you want to know what the weather's going to be? It looks like it's going to be partly cloudy. Chance of heavy snow tonight on the Rob Spiewak Show.
Guy had just been on the radio all afternoon and on TV.
Couldn't get enough.
Not enough. More media.
There you go.
And Diana maintains that she heard you playing a tape of yourself when you were a DJ.
Not true. I had a tape that had a jingle on it that I was using, perhaps, and that's what she heard. But no.
Your name shout jingle?
Yeah, my DJ jingle.
So you're just playing your jingle over and over?
15 minutes after 7 o'clock, Rob Spiewak and Boys to Men to sing for you.
Playing his jingle over and over. Rob Spiewak!
No, I never play it over and over. It's just, it comes up, you know, you jingle like every third record, right? That's what I put it in.
And yes, Don G, I have my own bell. Pretty much, si vous plaît.
Band Watchers Compliment Week, that is right.
We're in the get-go stages of a Monday night roll party.
Not to be confused with the Allman Brothers weekend. All right.
All right, you're dismissed, Rob. Right,
sorry about that, guys.
All right, quick break. You got all the Elvis stuff for me? Oh, you know what?
Get free access in 15 minutes of in
story
mm-hmm.
that we haven't heard before about Elvis and his pet donkeys.
Can't wait.
And we'll do that in a second as we celebrate Elvis's birthday one day late. We'll do that right after this.
Radio needs a good kick in the ass.
The Don and Mike Show. It's like a daily four-hour bender with no hangover. The Don and Mike Show.
Hi, we're back, and thank you for listening in Mobile, Alabama, on 92 Rock in Barrie, Vermont, on WSNO, and thank you for listening in Rochester, New York, on Hot Talk 1280 WHTK. Yes, we'll take some phone calls here in a couple of seconds.
Oh, I'm sure everybody wants to talk.
Rotating random phone scan coming up. Also, the Hotline to Heaven today with the late Dean Martin, who is even deader now than when we originally scheduled him for the program.
He's been waiting for our call.
And if you can get out of your house to go to a movie, we'll review some movies that we haven't seen yet. We hope to get all of that stuff and buzz with real news while we are doing the program today. But it's one day late, and it's Happy Birthday E.
We were so sad we missed the official birthday of the King of Rock and Roll. But, you know, a day late is not a dollar short in this particular case.
So let's start the Happy Birthday Elvis Show right now.
Froggy went according and he did right.
E. Yeah, E.
Froggy went according and he did right.
He loved to laugh.
The Big E.
Froggy
you were going to go
right there. I'm Saka Waka.
Oh, Jerry, I'm full of drugs.
My colon is impacted. Real chunky, man.
It's gray, man. Too many cheeseburgers, baby.
All right. I got a bunch of different Elvis stuff that you've never heard before. Some great Elvis material.
All right.
And we'll be joined at some point here by Joyce Bova, who's written a book about Elvis, about her affair with Elvis. She's supposed to be coming down in person, but with the weather the way it is, who knows? Either way, we'll have her at least on the telephone.
Good.
First, here's a story about Elvis and his donkeys. This comes from the new book, Elvis Aaron Presley.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is Billy Smith who's speaking. When Elvis first moved to Graceland, he kept three or four donkeys in the swimming pool. He didn't have any other place to put them because they hadn't finished the fence. Oh, and Elvis had all kinds of animals out there.
Put them in the swimming pool, man. I hope it was empty.
A couple of horses, I remember. And Vernon, Elvis's daddy, had two hogs, so he could kill them for ham, bacon, and sausage throughout the winter. He kept the pork back in the old pump house, which he used as a smokehouse. Elvis had peacocks and ducks and a turkey he called Bow Tie.
Hey, where's Bow Tie? It's Thanksgiving dinner.
Hey, what was the name of his monkey? Remember we
Scatter.
Found
Scatter.
Scatter the monkey. Let me see. He called the turkey Bow Tie because he was solid white except for three black feathers right under the neck on his breast. The feathers made the turkey look like he was dressed formal all the time because one hung straight down and the other two went out on each side. Maybe it was Aunt Gladys who gave him the name Bow Tie. The turkey was a pisser. He was always flogging somebody in the ass. One time, Daddy got ticked off at him and threw a rock and hit him in the head. Bow Tie lay there for a long time, and Daddy thought he was dead.
Oh, dear.
He felt terrible about it, and he was going to go tell Vernon he'd killed the old turkey. Just as he turned around to get in the Jeep, Bow Tie struck again. That bird did not hold a grudge. He got even.
Whoa, Bow Tie.
There's a story about Elvis and his donkeys.
Where's Bow Tie the turkey, man? Hey, listen, Red, put him in the swimming pool.
And I don't know how much of this I can read. This is a story about Elvis that we've recently researched called Elvis's Secret Sex Films.
Oh, dear.
And this is from the book called The Boy Who Would Be King, written by Earl Greenwood, a man who reveals Elvis's eccentric sex life, including his own love for filming his own orgies.
Sure.
And how his ambivalent feelings towards his mom would forever affect his relationships with other women.
Yeah, give me a camera, man.
Now let me see. Okay, we've got the stuff. I'm going to just skim through the beginning part of this.
Froggy went a-courting.
At the height of his popularity in 58, Elvis was stunned that he had been drafted. Elvis needed to have worried about his career. Colonel Tom made enough songs to weather Elvis's forced public leave of absence. For years, Elvis had agonized over an intense love-hate relationship with his mom. The morning air was damp and cool as we cruised in Elvis's Lincoln Continental. On the first of these early morning excursions, we drove with apparent aimlessness down the back roads of Kyleen and over the Texas highways in search of the scenery, ladies' underwear. Early morning's the best time, because that's when you can see women hanging out their private things to dry, said Elvis.
Oh, God.
As he slowed down to an unfenced backyard filled with clothes on crisscrossing lines.
Jeez, I didn't know this. This is a great news story about E.
From the sound of it, he had obviously pursued this pastime before. He searched out panties with studied intensity, and when he found a pair he liked, his breath quickened and he squirmed in his seat.
Oh, God.
Looky here, Earl. I like these with the lacy edges. Can't you imagine what goes inside? I bet they belong to a natural redhead. A sweet young thing.
Oh, God.
The fantasies that excited Elvis's the most centered around young girls in their early teens with firm, untainted flesh. Sometimes he verbalized images, but most of the time he kept thoughts to himself.
I bet he did.
He often looked like a naughty boy peeking through a partially open window. This particular peculiarity took on other shapes. He often wanted his dates to act out roles and play pretend games, being bent over for spankings and begging for mercy. The power games made him feel strong, superior, and in control. During this time, another quirk presented itself. Elvis became obsessed with making sure that no woman he slept with was a mother. The idea of having sex with a woman who had given birth repulsed him. He always asked if his date's anatomy happened to be looser than he thought it should be.
Oh, God.
He would freeze and order them to leave. Hey, hold on. Wait a minute now. Oh, hey, you're a little loose down there.
Hey, you a mother?
He would freeze and order them to leave, convinced they had lied to him.
Oh, my God.
At least with teenage girls, he felt more secure. He wouldn't be pleasuring himself with a mother.
Oh, jeez.
Let me see.
I had no idea that the King of Rock and Roll was into all this stuff.
He never repeated his early morning laundry excursions outside of Texas. Once back in Memphis, he would move on to more elaborate diversions. Elvis was wound as tight as a coil in Texas and looked everywhere for release and comfort. He flew in a Vegas showgirl he had met. Oddly enough, Elvis treated her better than the other girls he'd been with since he came back from Germany, but he spent more time talking with her than anyone else. Let me see. Elvis. Whatever you do, don't make eye contact, Elvis said as they walked through the airport. Keep walking. I hate this. God, I hate this. I can't go anywhere and have a little privacy. Let me see now. Three of the girls giggled and began to strip, but one hesitated. Hold on. The last week of boot camp brought with it a flurry of activity outside the house at Kylene, with Elvis preparing to go overseas and the rest of us packing up for home. As a final gesture, Elvis wanted to buy gifts for the officers and his buddies. Let me see. Elvis talks about giving presents. Where's the part about sex?
Skimming for sex.
Elvis would sing to his guests. It wouldn't be long after an intimate performance like that before a girl would be rubbing his thigh in appreciation, and they would shortly beat a hasty retreat to his room upstairs. Elvis was comfortable with the prospect of sharing girls. He would try to convince them it would be fun, but failing that, he gave them cab fare and said goodnight. One night during the first week back, Elvis was thumbing through the script of the film he was set to do, G.I. Blues. He got up, stretched, and stood staring at me. Red was off, and Elvis had suddenly gotten an urge for female companionship. He wanted me to arrange a date for him with one of the groupies milling around the front of Graceland. Since his return, crowds had been larger than ever, people hoping to catch a glimpse of Elvis. Let me see. Elvis, we got to get you out of your... Elvis says, Earl, we got to get you out of your shell and into the world. Girls come here because they want me. They're creaming their little lace panties at the thought of walking through that door. Why do you think they stand out there in all hours? They're dying to find out if I'm any good. This is Elvis talking now.
Hey.
And brag to their friends. Since I feel up to a big performance tonight, I don't want to disappoint them. You'll be doing these girls a favor. They'll be very grateful. Bring back four. We're all going to have fun. And it doesn't matter if they're young ones.
Oh, God.
He was right. It didn't take long to find girls willing to spend an evening with Elvis. I ushered them past the guard and into Graceland amid some vulgar but good-natured comments tossed at them by a few guys on the sidewalk. Elvis made his entrance. I told you we're going to have a party. It's time for you to learn what women are really meant for. He introduced me to the girls, none of them over 17, and told them to be extra nice to me. Elvis conducted the ebb and flow of the evening with the skill of a maestro, from the first casual touches to playful kisses to urgent gropings. Let's go to my room and have some fun. It took me a split second to realize he meant everybody, all six of us. In his room, Elvis took off his shirt and threw it over the lamp. First one naked gets this first. As he undressed completely and flopped back on his bed.
The King of Rock and Roll.
Stroking himself.
Oh, God.
Three of the girls giggled and began to strip, but one hesitated, having second thoughts at being part of an orgy. Elvis reached up and pulled her down to him tenderly, kissing and caressing her while the rest of us were spellbound. While they kissed, he simply unzipped her skirt and slid it off. He broke away but kept his eyes fixed on hers when he pulled his sweater over her head, murmuring how beautiful her breasts were.
Hey, ma'am.
Hey, those are pretty.
Hey.
Ma'am, those are such pretty breasts.
Those are very beautiful. Lemonade, that cool, refreshing drink.
Milk, lemonade.
Around the corner.
Fudge is made.
Hey, this is great, man. I tell you, it's great being the King of Rock and Roll. Who'd have thunk it?
We fell into bed, grabbing, touching, kissing, rubbing against the body nearest our own. A couple of times, I inadvertently ran my hand over Elvis's skin. Oh, he responded with a moan of pleasure.
Oh, dear.
The activity came in waves of passionate release, followed by calm before starting up again. At one point, Elvis got up to go to the bathroom. When he returned, he looked at the rest of us and laughed. What a picture you make. Hey, Earl, you still got the movie camera you had at my party? Yeah, why, Elvis? go get it.
This is EAP pornographer.
Elvis, I don't want to. Oh, come on. We're going to make a little home movie starring these girls who are prettier than any movie actress I ever met. I explained it was too dark, but Elvis said to set up the light like I had the other night. His face was flushed red. They looked like an excited schoolboy.
Almost as excited as he got when he saw the clothesline.
Make sure to get all of this, Earl. Elvis lowered himself onto the girls.
Oh, God.
Now, hold on. I see that this is in Penthouse Magazine. Let me just do some more editing here.
Are you doing some editing right now?
I'm doing... every night for the rest of the week, I selected four of the most forward girls I could find, and every night I made home movies of Elvis having sex in every possible position with them.
And it's our job to find those movies.
One of his favorite things was to have the girls watch the girls have sex with each other. I don't know whom he paid off, but Elvis managed to get the film developed with no problem and planned a night at the movies with Red and a couple of his army buddies who had already showed up at his door and been given jobs as your basic gophers. Elvis locked the door and told Red to start the projector.
Start it up, Red.
Grainy images came into focus.
Where's the popcorn? It's movie time.
And Elvis led the hooting, the barnyard king strutting his stuff. As each scene flickered on the screen, Elvis gave running commentary about how loose the women were. His shorthand for how experienced they were. His favorite was the young girl he swore had been a virgin. And he pointed out bloodstains back up his claim.
Oh, my God.
The movies were Elvis's latest pride and joy. He and his boys watched parts of them every day until he left for Miami to appear at the Fontainebleau Hotel with Frank Sinatra.
Are you lonesome tonight?
Let me see. Then he talked about G.I. Blues, Frank Sinatra, Elvis getting it on with Juliet Prowse. Elvis and Juliet Prowse hooked up in Vegas for a couple of days before she headed to L.A. for business commitments. One evening, Elvis was in his dressing room, cooling down, when a stagehand peeked in and said Frank Sinatra was waiting outside to see him. Elvis turned around and said, "Cut it out, you guys. I'm too tired to fool around." He looked up in the mirror in time to see Frank Sinatra, accompanied by two unpleasant companions. The conversation was civil and very brief. Frank complimented on his show, his new film, and offered free advice. If Elvis wanted to continue working in good health, he should make sure he wasn't stepping on the wrong toes. Without ever mentioning her name or losing a smile, Sinatra succeeded in making Juliet Prowse the biggest turnoff that Elvis could imagine. From that night on, Elvis completely broke off contact with her and gave orders to everyone he would not be taking her calls. She attempted to reach him for several weeks, then he abruptly stopped. His run-in with Sinatra was one occasion where his bluff was called.
Hey. Yeah, but I got a movie camera. We're going back to Graceland.
Oh, and we got some pictures here of Elvis. I'm sure everybody has seen the now famous picture of Elvis with Nixon.
Yeah, it's a very, very famous photograph.
I think it is, I think, the most requested photo that they have in the Library of Congress. The people are always looking to check this out.
Right.
Well, we got a piece of correspondence here from the guys and gals at Bowman Height Ventures. Dear Don and Mike, enclosed you'll find our special collector's edition of the Elvis Meets Nixon collection. 28 photos taken the day that Elvis met Nixon. Enclosed you'll find 18 pages of White House correspondence, handwritten letter from Elvis requesting the meeting, and his reasons for the request. In one of the photos, you see Elvis showing Nixon a photo of himself and Lisa Marie.
That's me, Mr. President.
On the handwritten letter, you can see food stains. All right, this comes from David and Randall. And thank you guys for the photos. Some of these pictures, now these are great pictures. Here's Elvis showing Nixon the picture of himself and Lisa Marie.
My favorite out of all those is the picture of Elvis showing former President Richard Nixon his cufflinks.
Okay, hold on a second.
Hey, look at these, man.
And Elvis, who is like stoned out of his mind.
Yeah, and Nixon going, "My goodness, those are fine cufflinks."
Hold on. Here you go. Hey, man, here's the picture. Hey, now, President Nixon, what do you think of these?
Take a look at my cufflinks. Yeah, get a little closer. You'll be able to see them. Hey, you want to come down to Graceland for a movie show?
And Elvis looks all ashen and everything.
He looks so wasted.
And here's another one of Nixon checking out the cufflinks.
Yeah. My goodness, do you think you could leave those behind?
Here's another one, still looking at the cufflinks. Here they are, then, shaking hands.
Right. And that's where he's got his Elvis sunglasses on, those classy sunglasses that he's wearing.
Great photos. I consider myself to be a big Elvis fan and had not seen any of these other 27 photos of Elvis inside the White House.
Do you have the letter that had to be signed off by Haldeman?
Yep.
That one of Nixon's top aides, Haldeman, had to sign off. It's in there, and he has to write his initial in there, H. And he has to sign off.
This one. This there's a bunch of. Let me see. Is this the one where Haldeman writes, "You must be kidding"?
That's it. Okay, read the last paragraph, and then that's where Haldeman put, "You must be kidding." It's the very last paragraph the guy's writing.
Okay, this is a memo to H.R. Haldeman from Dwight Chapin.
It's from Chapin to Haldeman, and Haldeman has to approve it.
December 21st, 1970. Attached, you'll find a letter to the president from Elvis Presley. As you're aware, Elvis showed up this morning and has requested an appointment with the president. Isn't that like Elvis?
Sure, yeah. I want to see the president, man.
Hey, man. It's me. It's E. And if this book is true, the Joyce Bova book, Elvis also hooked up with her when he came to D.C. to meet the president.
On this trip.
She lives out here. He states that he knows the president is busy, but he'd like to say hello and present the president with a gift. As you're aware, Elvis was voted one of the 10 outstanding young men for next year, based upon his work in the field of drugs. The thrust of Elvis's letter is that he wants to become a federal agent at large to work against the drug problem.
I want to be a real federal officer, man.
He says he's not a member of the establishment, and the drug culture types, hippie, SDS, and the Black Panthers, are people with whom he can communicate, since he's not part of the establishment.
Right.
I suggest we do the following. This morning, Bud Crow will have Mr. Presley come in and talk to him about drugs. Bud will also check to see if there's some kind of an honorary agent at large or credential of some sort we can give to Elvis.
Decoder ring.
After Bud has met with Elvis, it is recommended we have Bud bring Elvis in during the open hour to meet briefly with the president.
Right.
You know that several people have mentioned over the past few months that Elvis is very pro the president. He wants to keep everything private, and I think we should honor his request. I've talked to Bud about the matter, and we both think it would be wrong to push Elvis off on the vice president, since it will take very little of the president's time and can be extremely beneficial for the president to build up rapport with Elvis. In addition, if the president wants to meet with some bright young people outside the government, Elvis would be a perfect one to start with. And then Haldeman writes, "You must be kidding."
Yeah, that's it. That's the last paragraph. He wants to meet with some bright young people.
You must be kidding.
Right.
Oh, and then... And then when you get the letter, the actual letter that Elvis sent to the president, check out this handwriting. You tell me if Tom Gavin doesn't laugh at this guy.
You know, I give him a little credit. Maybe there was a little turbulence on the plane when he wrote that.
I don't think so. It took Elvis five handwritten pages to write his letter to the president. You want to hear the letter that Elvis wrote to the president?
Dear Mr. President. Thank you, Arswell.
Dear Mr. Nixon, first, I would like to introduce myself. I am Elvis Presley, and I admire you, and I have great respect for your office. I talked to Vice President Agnew in Palm Springs 3 weeks ago and expressed my concern for our country. The drug culture, the hippie elements, the SDS, the Black Panthers do not consider me as their enemy. I call it American, and I love it. Sir, I can and will be of any service I can to help the country out. I have no concerns or motives other than helping the country out. If I were made a federal agent at large...
Here we go. That's it. See, that's what he wants. If I were made a federal agent...
I will help out by doing it my way through communications with people of all ages. Sir, I am staying at the Washington Hotel, room 505, 506, 507. I am registered under the name of John Burroughs. I will be here as long as it takes to get the credentials of a federal agent.
That's what he wanted.
I have done an in-depth study of drug abuse and communist brainwashing techniques.
You bet.
And I am right in the middle of the whole thing where I can and will do the most good.
I've done an in-depth study of drug use.
I am glad to help, so long as it's kept private. You can have your staff call me anytime, today, tonight, or tomorrow. I was nominated this coming year as one of America's most 10 outstanding young men. That will be in January in Memphis. I'm sending you my short autobiography so you can better understand. I'd love to meet you if you're not too busy. Respectfully, Elvis Presley. P.S. I believe that you, sir, were also one of the 10 outstanding men of America also.
Yeah.
I have a personal gift for you, which I'd like to present to you. And you can take it and accept it, or I will keep it for you until you can take it.
Until you can take it. You can take it, man. I want nothing for myself other than to be made a federal officer without going through any of the training.
Isn't that funny? And then here, there's a couple more. Just a couple more. Let me read you. Here's the letter then from Nixon to Elvis after he's been in the White House. December 31st, 1970. Dear Mr. Presley, it was a pleasure to meet with you in my office recently, and I want you to know again how much I appreciate your thoughtfulness in giving me a Colt 45 pistol. Wow. Encased in a handsome wooden chest.
Here's your Colt 45, Mr. President.
You were particularly kind to remember me with this impressive gift, as well as your family photographs, and I'm delighted to have them for my collection of special mementos. My best wishes to you, Mrs. Presley, and your daughter Lisa, for a happy and peaceful 1971. Sincerely, Richard Nixon.
Thank you, Elvis. Thank you for the family photos of you and Scylla.
Did you like the gun?
I'd love to come down to Memphis for that movie that you were telling me about. I'd love to watch it.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. I didn't even read this one. And these are all real memos.
Yeah.
Real memos. The White House, December 21st. Memo to the president.
Sure.
Subject, Elvis. Purpose, one, to thank Elvis for his offer to help to try to stop the drug epidemic in this country. Mm-hmm. Two, participants, Elvis Presley. Three, we have asked the entertainment industry, TV and radio, to assist in our drug fight. You're aware the average American family has four radio sets. 98% of the young people listen to radio. The problem is critical. Two of rock's folk heroes, Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin, recently died within a period of 2 weeks, reportedly from drug-related causes. Suggestions for Elvis activities. One, work with White House staff. Two, cooperate and encourage the creation of an hour TV special in which Elvis narrates as stars such as himself sing popular songs and interpret them for parents in order to show drug and other anti-establishment themes in rock music. Encourage fellow artists to develop a new rock musical theme. Get High on Life.
Yeah, man.
Have Elvis record an album with the theme Get High on Life at the Federal Narcotic Rehabilitation and Research Facility in Lexington, Kentucky.
That was later replaced by Just Say No.
That's pretty fascinating, all that paperwork. Thank you for sending all that stuff. We did not have that in our files before.
Funniest one of all those documents, though, was Haldeman signing off on it and saying, yes, Elvis can meet with the president, but then when he referring to him as one of the bright people outside of the administration, you must be kidding.
We will be right back, babe.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Joyce.
Hi, Don. Mike, how are you?
How are you doing, Joyce? And thanks for being with us. We understand you couldn't make it through this terrible weather. How are you doing with the blizzard?
Oh, actually, I'm doing fine.
Good.
I'm doing fine. At least I'm safe and warm.
Listen, I read your book on vacation, over the Christmas vacation. I read your book while sitting on the beaches of Jamaica.
Oh, and, wonderful.
And what's the name of your book again?
It's called Don't Ask Forever, My Love Affair with Elvis.
Your love affair. You had a love affair with the king of rock and roll.
Yeah.
Now, before I ask you questions, a couple of things that I remember from the book that I've pointed out here on the show already that I thought were pretty typical Elvis. Like when you're laying in bed with Elvis and he clips his toenails at 3 in the morning.
Yes.
And then he called, who did he call to come up and vacuum him?
He called the maid.
At 3 o'clock in the morning?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. He was quite eccentric and very pampered.
And when you write that you're in bed with Elvis and like the horizontal or the vertical goes bad on the TV and the TV starts spinning, and he calls his dad to come up and he lays in bed while his daddy fixes the TV?
Yes, he did, and he fixed it. It was a little embarrassing for me. But was this based on Elvis's lifestyle.
Was this based on the fact that Elvis was incredibly lazy or that he didn't have any mechanical abilities and he thought his father did?
Well, I'm sure he didn't have mechanical abilities. I've never seen him do anything mechanical. But I think he was just used to calling somebody for everything. You know, there was always someone to wait on him.
Now, as I read your book, Joyce, I was thinking, you get through the beginning part, which is very flowery, very pro-Elvis. Not that the book is anti-Elvis, but it's very pro-Elvis. It's very much the way that I understand it, the way that I read the book, you got backstage to see Paul Anka. Somehow that got you backstage with Elvis, right?
Well,
kind of?
I met Paul Anka the night before, and then Paul Anka wanted to meet us for dinner the next night, and we told him that we told him that we were going to see Elvis's show and that our hotel had made reservations, and he said, it's impossible to get in to see Elvis. I'll make your reservations and then meet me after, in the lounge. Well, while I was waiting to get in line to see Elvis, someone approached us. It seemed like this was happening every night. And someone approached us and asked if we wanted to meet Elvis. And so he said, well, I guess this is just standard operating procedure for Vegas. I don't know. So that's how we got backstage to meet Elvis.
And listen, they ended up like having a long relationship, and Elvis got her on pills and all this other pills and all this other stuff, and she saw Elvis take a needle in his eye.
When you went out to Vegas with your girlfriend, was this just on a you know a vacation or what? Did you go out there with the any idea that you were going to hobnob with celebrities?
Oh my goodness, no. We both worked on the Hill together, and it was you know vacation at the time. Congress was in recess, so we went to Vegas. And now, I must say, my girlfriend, we knew Elvis was going to be appearing in Vegas, and my girlfriend was very intent on making sure that we would get in to see his show, but we had no idea we would get in to see him.
So at first,
I wanted to see a show, too. I mean, my God, I grew up with his music.
At first, Joyce doesn't give Elvis what he wants. Elvis, like, wants her to stay with him, and she gets the feeling that she's just another one of the many women that come parading for Elvis.
Right.
So she leaves, and she goes home. And it's a couple of months until Elvis calls her again. Then Elvis has a phone put in her house, a special phone just called the Elvis phone, which only he calls on.
Yeah. Wow.
And at what point, without going through the whole book, at what point, can we talk about the pills for a second?
Okay.
I know I'm jumping way ahead here.
Uh-huh.
I'm all over the place.
Also, there's so much I really would like to say because you just went through a whole thing. I was listening to your show, and everything you said, I wanted to address it. Because
all right, you know what you can address right off the bat, the movies that he made movies and he took movies of groupies that were picked up out in front of his house. Do you know about any of that?
No,
no, you don't.
No, nothing like that. I mean, the Elvis that I knew was very respectful to me. You see, he was very respectful to everyone. I mean, he was a very spontaneous person. You know, very effervescent. He loved fun. I mean, I know he had that male bonding thing with his guys. But, I mean, it was all innocent, good, clean fun from my perspective.
Yeah, at least in
front
of
you. He never, ever did anything ugly like you were depicting from whoever book you were reading. But, and that's very upsetting to me because, you know, all the things about his mother and his weird sexual appetite.
Well, do you think, you know, and let me pose this to you. Do you think there was a chance that Elvis had this side and he wouldn't show any of it to you, but, you know, when he was around the buddies or driving out around Texas looking for panties on a clothes line?
There's some panties,
well,
man.
Of course that's possible. He did not show it to me, but I say maybe when he was part of that male bonding thing, you know, they did crazy things.
All right, here's a tape we have from that time.
Why did he like young girls so much?
I think the idea of the innocence of it maybe was it.
Like,
you know, and he liked to raise them and train them, I guess.
Did you guys ever warn him? Did you ever say, hey, you know?
Warn him? Are you kidding? 13, 14-year-old girl? It can just wipe out everything. I mean, that's when we really sort of banded together real tight. Said, look, we cannot let this out.
All right, that's some guy who worked with Elvis. I don't know if that's, you know, all the guys in the mafia.
I knew most of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were around all the time.
So now, to read the book, when I was, loving tone, but still, you do write about the real Elvis. You do write about the weird shots that he was taking at the end,
yes,
and about the drugs and how you were concerned about the drugs. And even
how old were you when you started your affair with Elvis?
I was 24.
24. So you weren't like the examples we've had earlier of the young teenagers that he would seduce.
No, okay. No.
So actually, now as I read the book, as I remember reading the book, she comes back to Washington because she doesn't want to be one of Elvis's regular groupies.
Exactly.
Elvis starts calling her up all the time. Then he puts in the secret phone line. Mm-hmm. Then Elvis, now, you tell me if I'm remembering this correctly.